So the Orioles are down to 10 candidates for their five starting pitchers in the rotation at this point in Sarasota. And today we'll try to sort out who those five pitchers will be and who will start opening day for the O's in Boston. That's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast.
You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2023, and welcome back into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and today we are joined once again by Nathan Ruiz. He covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. He is here to talk all things Orioles starting rotation as we inch closer and closer, just about 2 weeks from opening day. And Nathan, first of all, thank you so much for jumping back on the pod today.
Yeah, Connor, thanks for having me as always.
Yeah, so we want to talk starting rotation and kind of take a look. This is the preview pod for the Orioles starting rotation this year. And as we know, coming into camp, the Orioles had those 12 candidates that Mike Elias talked about. We've lost two so far, DL Hall not being ready to ramp up to be a starter by opening day, and then Drew Rahm being optioned back to minor league camp. So we're down to 10 right now. And the place I think a lot of people want to start with is, who's going to start opening day? Because there's not the clear candidate on the roster with John Means still being out and, you know, not going to be back till July. So I know you've written about, you know, Kyle Gibson probably being the guy because of just the order of things. Is that still how you see it here about 2 weeks from opening day?
Yeah, the Orioles did some rotation shuffling a little bit today that I'm sure we'll get into, but I think kind of how it basically lines up. They do have an off day coming up. There's still time to kind of play with it. You look at where the dates fall. You look at Kyle Gibson's experience relative to other guys. You look at the fact he has a prior opening day start in his career, one that did not go particularly well, but he did make it. And I think things kind of line up for him to make that start. Nothing's guaranteed. Brandon Hyde has said that the news on that is coming. The Orioles are off on Wednesday, and then, you know, soon thereafter, I think we'll get an announcement on it. You know, there are other candidates. There are definitely guys you can make an argument for. You look at, you know, the season that Dean Kremer had. You look at the second half that Kyle Bradish had. You look at their other offseason acquisition in Cole Irvin. So there are other guys here, and you wonder, like, if incumbency with a Kremer or Bradish ends up winning out. But I think just, you know, looking how teams generally kind of operate in terms of veteran leaders, I think Kyle Gibson has stepped in and been that for this pitching staff. And as a result, is going to end up being the opening day starter. If it ends up being someone else, I wouldn't be surprised. You're still, you know, still have to make two more starts or so before the season begins, and you never know what's going to happen. We've seen it plenty of times. You look at Alex Cobb back in 2019, named the opening day starter. You look at John Means in 2020, named the opening day starter, and then those guys end up not making those starts for you know, injury reasons. So obviously the hope is that whoever they select and the other four guys, that's not the case. They don't have to worry about that. But as it stands now, you know, my expectation would be that it's Kyle Gibson, but if it's someone else, I also wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I've been working off the assumption that it's going to be Kyle Gibson. You mentioned, you know, he's the only guy in the rotation that started opening day before. Again, 2021 in Texas, I think he got one out and he gave up like five or six runs. It did not go well in his only other opening day start, but he's the only one that's done it. He is, you know, the highest paid free agent that Mike Elias has ever brought in on a 1 year, $10 million deal. And we don't have the obvious guy at the top with Means out. It seems like it's going to be Gibson. So after that, I did kind of want to get into just a little bit the Brandon Hyde comments from Tuesday, where, you know, there's a little bit of the shuffling of the order after, as you mentioned, the off day on Wednesday, the pretty rare off day here in these spring training games, and, you know, having to do with shuffling with Cole Irvin and Kyle Bradish. Do you read anything into it? Do you think it's going to change maybe not the opening day starter, but the order? I mean, the hope is it's not because there's any kind of injury to any of the five guys, but do you read anything into, you know, shuffling it a little bit once they get back on the field on Thursday?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's hard to read fully into it just because we don't have all the information. And talking with Brandon Hyde yesterday, you know, he's not always necessarily the one. This is kind of like an inside baseball journalism thing for people. He's not always necessarily the one who announces the starter. Sometimes it's the PR department. Sometimes it's just in like the pregame notes we get. So on the pregame notes we got today, Cole Irvin was listed as their starter for Thursday's game. And for the most part, how the Orioles have operated recently in terms of their rotation, it's been Kyle Gibson, Tyler Wells, Kyle Bradish, Cole Irvin, Grace Rodriguez. And obviously other guys are throwing on the same days as those guys. We've seen Austin Voth paired with Cole Irvin. We've seen Spencer Watkins paired with Grace Rodriguez and so on and so forth. That obviously had some alterations to it where, you know, Cole Irvin threw on a backfield. But so with the off day on Wednesday, on Thursday, Cole Irvin is starting, which if there was a game on Wednesday, that would have been his day. Without a game, that becomes Kyle Bradish's day. So there's just, you know, there was like, oh, that's different. So ask Brent Hyde after today's exhibition about it. And obviously he's probably not really even thinking about tomorrow's game. He just finished a game in Bradenton. He's trying to get home. And he seemed kind of like thrown for a loop. He wasn't, you know, all he said basically was that, oh, we're just trying to line things up for opening day. And obviously as you get to this off day, you're down to like the last 2 weeks before opening day. That's really what the focus is getting your, you know, regular guys ready on both sides of the ball, getting them ready for opening day. And so I don't know if there's anything necessarily to read into it. I was kind of curious with how that order originally was of, you know, Gibson, Wells, Bradish, with an assumption that Dean Kramer might end up being the guy who ends up spotting in that number two spot. In that, you know, Kyle Bradish was really good to close the year last year, and his one really, really bad start was at Fenway Park. So I was fascinated by the idea of having him be your number three starter at Fenway Park. There's also the aspect of Cole Irvin has pitched in the AL West for the previous 2 years, and their next series is in Texas. Obviously, there's the Grayson Rodriguez, you know, his first start to possibly come in Texas. There's a lot of different elements at play here. And so I think that, you know, the Orioles have a lot more information than I do. I'm sure that, you know, Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon, we speak with Brandon Hyde again next. We'll get a clear idea of where Kyle Bradish now falls in this. It's possible that he and Cole Irvin are just swapping days. It's possible that Kyle Bradish is going to throw on a backfield that same day. We just don't have all that information right now, so it makes it harder to definitively say, like, this is what this means and this is what they're doing. But all I know is that Cole Irvin is starting on Thursday now.
Yeah, I think the hope is that maybe it's just the hope is really that it's just nothing and it's just because of the off day. But even if it is something, the hope, I guess, would be, hey, they looked at it and said, you know what, the Red Sox squared up Kyle Bradish at Fenway last year. And, you know, maybe they see Cole Irvin and think that Texas lineup has too good a read on him with him being in Oakland. So they said, let's just make a switch here. Let's send Cole Irvin to Fenway. Let's send Kyle Bradish to Texas. And of course, Grayson Rodriguez would be cool to make his major league debut back in his home state here. We'll get back to chatting about the Orioles starting rotation with Nathan Ruiz of the Baltimore Sun here in just a moment. But first, this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. We are approaching the end of the NBA season, and we're getting close to the start of the Major League Baseball season. So now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and threes drained. And plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So we're back here with Nathan Ruiz of the Baltimore Sun talking about the Orioles rotation. And we've talked about, you know, both of us agreeing that we think at least at this point, Kyle Gibson will be the opening day starter. We've talked about what the order will be after that. And I think it's in agreement between people like you covering the team and people just watching from afar that the five at this point seem to be, as you mentioned, Gibson, Kramer, Bradish, Irvin, and Rodriguez in some order. How set do you think that five is? As long as they all five stay healthy, how set do you feel like that five is, at least at this point, 2 weeks away?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's like 90% is the number I would go with, in that, like, if health is, like you said, like eliminated from the equation, like I would say 90%, in that I would think Cole Irvin and Kyle Gibson are going to be in the rotation. Dean Kramer pitched well when he was here. He pitched well for Team Israel the other day. Kyle Bradish has pitched really well. And then it's like a 50-50, not 50-50 even feels well. So I might even go up to 95%. But I think Grayson Rodriguez is really the only question of, does he give them reason for pause in camp? And obviously he had three really good innings the other day and then a really rough fourth inning. And that's something Brandon Hyde brushed off. And understandably so, he would love to have Grayson Rodriguez in his opening day rotation. But organizationally, there are other factors at play here. And obviously having Grayson Rodriguez now on the opening day roster, there is incentive to do that. That was part of the new CBA. If, you know, Grayson Rodriguez or Gunnar Henderson or, you know, D.L. Hall ends up on the opening day roster, if you know, any of those guys end up winning Rookie of the Year, the Orioles can get a bonus draft pick out of it. And you would like to think they'll give themselves, you know, based off their affinity for draft picks, as many, you know, throws of that dartboard, so to speak. So that's something to watch for. But at the same time, you know, there is still the element of an extra year of control being possibly gained if he, you know, spends just a couple weeks in AAA. And if he goes out there these last couple weeks of spring and has some rough outings and gives them a reason, basically. And I think that's basically what it comes down to. If Grayson Rodriguez can go out there and be dominant, which we have, you know, seen throughout his minor league career, we've seen it this spring. If he goes out there and he's dominant, there's little reason to think he won't be in his team's opening day rotation, because Michael Elias has said all along since the end of last season, like, that's what he hopes to see. And so as long as Grayson doesn't give them a reason to go the other direction, I think that he'll be, you know, that fifth guy, whether that's in the fifth spot or another spot, you know, TBD. But I think that it's pretty, I think it's going to be hard for an Austin Both or Spencer Watkins or Tyler Wells to break in there. But that doesn't mean, it's a long baseball season. They're bound to get opportunities. But in terms of that opening five, if health isn't a factor, I think it seems to be pretty locked in, but obviously a lot can change in that regard.
Yeah, and we know not to look too deep into just spring training performances because that sample size is so small. But even guys like Austin Voth and Tyler Wells haven't exactly, you know, pitched to the level that, you know, some guys like Kyle Bradish have in spring training, where you start to ask that question even more. And with Grayson Rodriguez, I think obviously the worst case scenario besides an injury is that we get a really, really clear case of, you know, them sending him to the minors to manipulate service time. And the hope is that that doesn't happen. I think the words from Elias so far throughout the offseason tell me that they're not planning to do that. And I know the fourth inning was a little rough the other day, but it feels like he's going to be that fifth guy. So say, you know, maybe say they do kind of manipulate that and send him down, but more so say there's some sort of injury here and one of these guys gets plucked out of the rotation. You know, maybe it's not even a long-term thing, just a 15-day IL stint to start the season. Who of that other five group? You got Tyler Wells in there, Bruce Zimmerman, Austin Voth, Mike Bauman, and Spencer Watkins. Who do you think would get the nod in a fifth spot if there was some sort of late injury, you know, right before opening day where they had to shuffle things up a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's really tough to say. I think that's a great question, only because the second five, there isn't a clear standout necessarily. Like, obviously, you look at, you probably could tier them somewhat. Like, you would say that Austin Voth, Tyler Wells, and Spencer Watkins are probably in a better situation based on last season than a Mike Bauman or Bruce Zimmerman. Mike Bauman had two, you know, pretty good outings to start of spring, really struggled the other day in Northport. Bruce Zimmerman had, like, such an efficient, you know, effort, you know, in Bradenton on Tuesday, just the way, I think he threw like 19 pitches and got nine outs at first, like had a three pitch inning in there in which he gave up a hit. So it was out, base hit, double play on three pitches, had a five pitch inning before that, had some struggles there in his fourth inning. And it was mostly against, you know, like the Pirates B teamer. So again, it's tough to read into these things results wise. You know, Tyler Wells goes out there and has some struggles, so 63 pitches and gets, I think, seven outs. And he ends the day saying like, I'm close. Like I feel like all my four of my pitches have been working at various points. I just haven't quite synced them up yet. His ERA for the spring is almost 12, but he's out there saying like, I'm like this close to being very dominant is basically what he said. And so he's a guy who's really confident in his stuff, a guy who really believes in himself. He's obviously had a bit of, you know, for lack of a better term, like sniff snap to his career. Obviously, you know, loses a couple years to Tommy John and the pandemic. He's a Rule 5 believer, does really well, unexpectedly becomes a closer, gets pushed into the rotation, does really well there, ends up getting hurt, and now he's kind of in this question point. So I think that he's a guy who I wonder how much of that they would like to continue to do. Where is he, you know, do you just eventually put him in a role and say, this is your role? Do they want him to, you know, be a short reliever and then go back to starting? Like, how much kind of that do they want to do? Is it just going to be an Austin Voth, Spencer Watkins situation, or you have these two more, you know, veteran type guys who would get that opportunity? Is, you know, with Mike Bauman, they opened the year last year with him in their bullpen and ended up sending him back to AAA, making him a starter, and he had a pretty good stretch, ended up ending the year with a couple starts out of the Orioles rotation. So I think any of those five guys, I know I'm not definitively answering your question. I think it's because as it stands right now, it's a hard question to answer, but it's a much better conversation to have. Man, if one of their starters got hurt, like which of these five like reasonably capable guys would you put in rather than like, man, I can't believe, I really hope none of these five guys get hurt because I'd be really scared to see who starts the fifth game.
Yeah, it does feel like that. I mean, 2 years ago, that second five could have easily been the Orioles rotation to start the year. And instead, right, it's the second five of guys who some will end up in the pen, some will be AAA depth. I would think all of them probably pitch in the big leagues, maybe at least most of them pitch in the big leagues at some point this year. But it's a much better problem to have. And speaking of these guys going to the bullpen, that's one that I wanted to get to as well, because I didn't want to get too far into like what the bullpen's going to look like. But you've got all these 10 starters we're talking about. And let's throw DL Hall in there, because they certainly haven't ruled out beginning the year with him in the bullpen. And I think listening to him, I mean, he doesn't want to say it, but I would think DL Hall wants to be in the big leagues over going back to Norfolk. And if it means being in the bullpen for a little bit, I feel like he would do it. So if we say the five that we've talked about are going to be the starters, you've got those next six starting pitchers. If you had to guess right now, and you know, I did a opening day roster projection on yesterday's episode, and I said three of the six would be in the bullpen. How many of the six would you put in the Orioles opening day bullpen right now?
Yeah, I think when I most recently did a roster projection, I put two, but I think like three is totally reasonable. I had DL and AAA because even if that's what he wants, I think the organization might want something else. But that's not, you know, a guaranteed thing. That's not a known thing. Like, I think they could go either way, depending on, you know, as he gets into games, how effective he is. And he can go out there and with his stuff, he can just look dominant the rest of the spring whenever he starts getting the game action and really force their hand, kind of the same situation as Grayson. If he doesn't really give them another choice, then they'll do that. I think, you know, there are benefits to stretching him out in the major leagues. There are also benefits to putting him in a controlled AAA environment where you don't necessarily need to focus on stretching him out and trying to win Major League Baseball games. So there's a give and take to it. I think you can make an argument for really any of those other five to end up with a bullpen spot. They do want a second lefty. Now, I think if you're going to have a long relief lefty, it would be Keegan Aiken over Bruce Zimmerman, just given the way that Brandon Hyde has talked about Keegan Aiken this spring, who is a former starter who's pitched really well. I know you're not trying to get in the bullpen too much, so hopefully I'm not spoiling your next episode. But yeah, and then I think Austin Voth obviously has relief experience. Tyler Wells has relief experience, obviously. And Spencer Watkins has like body relief experience. It's more like mop up duty. So it's not quite as like clear cut as those two guys. Austin Voth is really the only one of this group, notably, who is out of options. Obviously was arbitration eligible this past year. So he does have like a guaranteed major league contract and salary. So it'll be interesting to see how that factors into all of this. I think that kind of puts him in the inside track, so to speak. That said, like if this team's now trying to compete, it's not, I don't think that, there are elements of things happening here, as has been discussed in many of these spaces about what they're doing, how they're operating. But at the same time, like they're trying to win Major League Baseball games. They're throwing the word playoffs around. And I think the ideal goal is to put together the 26 man group that gives them the best chance to do that. And if that's, you know, Austin Voth, Theo Hall, Spencer Watkins, and you know, Tyler Wells being that back, you know, latter half of the bullpen, if that's those four guys, if that's what they determine, that's what they'll go with.
Yeah, I agreed. And in my roster projection, I put Hall in AAA. I just think the way the Orioles have talked makes me think that they're going to build him up as a starter for a month or so and then make a decision on him. I put Voth and Wells as, you know, guys that will probably be in the bullpen. And I put Mike Baumann as my 26th man to make the team. I just feel like he doesn't have a lot more to gain from AAA Norfolk at this point. And I just think they could put him in there and you know, maybe it was tough. I took him over like an Andrew Politi on the roster. So we'll see if that ends up being the case, but he certainly has a case to make it. Let's finish up back with the five guys we started talking about, the guys who we think are going to be in the rotation. You've written about it, that Dean Kramer and Kyle Bradish did basically everything together this offseason training wise. They're basically in the same sentence whenever you talk about the Orioles rotation, because the two guys that broke out in the second half of last year, you know, two younger guys, both came over via trade to the Orioles, and now, you know, could headline this rotation moving forward. So each of them took a step forward in 2022. If you had to pick just one to take an even further step in 2023, that basically solidifies them as like a top of the rotation, maybe not number one, but a number two guy heading into 2024, who would you pick?
That's a great question, just because I think there's like a legitimate case to be made for both of them. You look at, you know, Dean. Dean's are like the most, maybe like in terms of like pitching, like thoughtful guy on the team. If you just like talk pitching with him, he's super insightful. You look at, you know, the approach he took to his offseason. He added a slider, added a sweeper, just looking to get, you know, basically all the shapes is how he puts it. He wants to be able to attack any type of hitter with any type of swing. And that, you know, that thoughtfulness has made him a good pitcher. You look at the pitcher he was in 2021 versus 2022. That's like a guy who really is thinking hard about this craft and wants to be really good at it. And then you look at Bradish, and I think just the jump he's taken in the Orioles organization, the level of just like pure pitching talent, the stuff, what he has with that slider, he's added, you know, the two seamer, and that's when he really took off. He modeled himself after Corbin Burns in a lot of ways, but sliding over on the mound, adding that two seamer, his fastball isn't a true cutter, but has a lot of natural cut to it in the same way that Corbin Burns throws a cutter. And obviously, you know, that's a guy who the Orioles would like to have atop their rotation. And maybe we'll see that at some point, who knows, a lot of talent in this organization, a lot of trades to be made maybe at some point. That said, you know, maybe they have Corbin Burns at home. I think that Kyle Bradish is my pick for this question. Just when you look at his stuff, just when you look at, obviously really struggled as a, you know, rookie in the big leagues in the first half, but made some adjustments and really was dominant in that second half. Is, you know, I think when you look at some of Dean Kramer's underlying numbers, not to say he got lucky, but there was, you know, some benefits there, some numbers about, you know, runners stranded and some of those. I know people just look at ERA in a lot of cases and say, oh, wow, he had a great year. And he did. He obviously, you know, got the results he wanted through a shutout against the team that won the World Series. Kyle Bradish also pitched great against him twice as a Dean. And so I think that there's a legitimate case to be made for both those guys. But just when you look at what Dean or Kyle Bradish, excuse me, did, see, you're mixing them up. Look at me. When you look at what Kyle Bradish did in the second half last year after making some adjustments, when there's a cause and effect to these things, it becomes a lot easier to consider them be really legitimate. I think with Kyle Bradish, he has a real opportunity to build off his second half.
Yeah, I'd take Kyle Bradish as well, and it's nothing against Dean Kramer. I've just been in love with Bradish's stuff, and seeing him make real-time adjustments, you know, while he went out with the shoulder injury last year, adding the sinker and switching sides of the rubber that he was throwing from, and to see it have real results down the stretch was really, really cool to see. And I do think Dean's going to be good because, you know, you wrote about kind of having the more shapes in his pitches and the sweeper, and, you know, we saw it for Team Israel last week. It's going to be fun to watch. Another one kind of in the same path is I think Cole Irvin and Kyle Gibson are definitely being grouped together just because they're the two locks. They're the two veteran guys. Let's say there's a scenario where John Means returns and he's replacing either Irvin or Gibson. Which guy do you think, if that were the case, kind of in a vacuum, he is more likely to replace in the rotation by the time we get to, you know, let's say late July, early August when Means is ready to rejoin that rotation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that timeline you offered kind of helps to explain the possibility and kind of validates what I'm going to say. Like, I think it's very possible that if this team is competitive and you've got Grayson Rodriguez in the rotation, you've got maybe DL Hall in the rotation, you've got Kyle, like, there's a lot of different, this group of 10, 11, 12 even, like, it's not going anywhere. These guys will still, for the most part, all be in the organization, you assume, and still be fighting and jockeying for spots all year. Kyle Gibson's on a one-year deal, and the Orioles could kind of play this game where, who knows how competitive they're actually be. Like, obviously, there's hope, but you look at the projections, they're not necessarily favorable to things. So it's possible that this team is not actually competitive. It's also possible that it's not competitive, and Kyle Gibson is pitching fine. He's being kind of that, you know, mid-fours ERA, around league average starter that he's kind of always been throughout his career. And they say, well, we can upgrade that spot by putting John Means into it. And obviously, they'll have some caution with that. John Means coming back from Tommy John surgery, no guarantees he's the, you know, all-star no-hitter throwing pitcher that he was before the injury. But I think if I had to pick between those two, just given the control situation at play with Gibson versus Irvin, I think it's definitely possible that this team does what maybe people hoped it would do last trade deadline, where they buy and sell at the same time. I think that's definitely a thing that to look at. You know, Adam Frazier, not to again steal from your infield preview, but I think that is kind of another situation where that kind of possibility is maybe at play. And that's getting pretty far ahead of ourselves when we're talking about a team that hasn't played a regular season game yet. And, you know, now these guys have thrown a regular season pitch yet. But I think if I had to pick between those two guys, like, I think John Means would be the fill-in for Gibson in the sense of just kind of moving things around as that team headed into the second half.
Yeah, and Irvin, getting him with the 4 years of control, and you know, for Kyle Gibson, you're giving up $10 million. Now, it seems like that's a much bigger deal for the Orioles than it is for
the Orioles. $5 million,
you know? Yeah, exactly. But, you know, for Cole Irvin, you gave up Darryl Hernandez, who I think they thought was going to be a major leaguer. Now, maybe not with the O's because there were so many shortstops ahead of him, but they invested a lot more, I think, at least from their standpoint, in Cole Irvin. So that would make sense. I just got two quick ones for you before I let you go. The first one is, what do you see the ceiling being for Grayson Rodriguez, especially if he is on some sort of, I won't call it an innings count, some sort of soft innings limit, it sounds like he's probably going to be on this year.
Yeah, the way that they talk about the innings limits with him, with John Means too, if you want to throw, like, Tyler Wells could kind of end up being in this type of mix as well. None of these guys threw a ton of innings last year. You know, Dean Kramer started off the year with an injury. Kyle Bradish spent time on the IL. So all these guys are kind of in this weird mix of what, you know, how much can we get out of them? You know, Michael Elias has said, we don't want to shut down anyone. We want all these guys to be able to help us. If this team has its eye on the playoffs, like, it's going to need Grayson Rodriguez in August, September. And then if it has its eyes on going further than that, it's going to need him in October. And so I think that, you know, the Orioles are really smart in what they do. They have all this information. They've been managing Grayson Rodriguez's innings for a long time. Like, it goes back to the minors. He was not a guy who frequently was out here going 7, 8, 9 innings in minor league games. They were always very cognizant of his workload and his usage. And that was the case even before last year's injury. And they're trying to be careful with him. They care about him a lot. He's one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. Now that Andrew Painter has his UCL situation, he's arguably the top healthy pitching prospect in baseball. So like, this is a guy who they really care about, who they really want to take care of, who they see having the possibility of being at the top of the rotation for many years to come. And they're going to do what they can to get as many innings as they can out of him without putting him at risk. And so what that number is, I don't know. They don't quite know. They probably have a number in mind. They have a range in mind, but there's not an exact science to this per se. There are studies in it. But Michael Elias basically said, like, there's no concrete proof that, like, if a guy is exponentially jumping in innings from one year to the next, that there's, something definite about what's going to happen to him long term. And so, but they'll take the best information they have. They're really smart. It's a great pitching department they've built here, and they'll put every ounce of science that they have and, baseball knowledge into it, and hopefully come away with a pitcher who is one of the best rookie pitchers and, in an ideal scenario, one of the best pitchers overall in baseball. And that's the kind of potential that they think Grayson Rodriguez has. And I think that's why Michael Elias has been so adamant. Like, this is a guy who, if all goes well this spring, will be in their opening day rotation.
Yeah, I think that quote from Elias about, there's no, really firm research and science about these innings limits was probably the most encouraging thing Michael Elias said all offseason for Orioles fans, because it felt like, hey, you know what? They might let Grayson Rodriguez a little more loose than we think. The last one is just a quick one here. Let's assume that on March 30th, when the season opens, it's those five pitchers we've talked about. It's Gibson, it's Kramer, it's Bradish, Irvin, and Rodriguez in the starting rotation. On September 30th, how many of those five are still in a five-man Orioles rotation?
I'll say three. You got to get John Means in there. I just think like an injury is going to happen somewhere. Like, the Orioles got really lucky last year in terms of their rotation health. Like, obviously, I say that when, like, John Means had Tommy John surgery and they never got an inning out of Grayson Rodriguez. But I think they were relatively lucky last year, so three even might be high. But, that's what I'll go with. I have no idea who the three are. I don't have any guesses, but I'll say three.
I'll say four. Maybe guys stay healthy and a plug-in is some sort of trade at the deadline, because the Orioles are hopefully playing well. But Nathan, thank you so much for joining us once again here on the pod to preview the starting rotation. Before we go, just let everybody know where they can find you, where they can read your stuff, not just in spring training, but once we get started with this 2023 Orioles season.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter for as long as it still exists, at Nathan S. Ruiz. And you can find all my work at baltimoresun.com/sports/Orioles.
So that was Nathan Ruiz, the Baltimore Sun. We thank him so much for joining us. I'm Connor Newcomb, and you've been listening and watching the Locked On Orioles podcast. We'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode, keeping you updated on all things Orioles spring training. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.